Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Sa
Vishva
Kaya Puruhuta Isha Satya Satyam Jyotir Aja Puranaha Datte Sya Janmad Janmadyajayatma
Janmadyajayatma.
Shakya
Shakya
Tam
Tam
Vidya
Vidya
Yodasya
Yodasya
Niriha
Niriha
Aste
Aste
Savishvakaya
Puruhuta Isha Savishvakaya
Puruhuta Isha Satyasvayam Jyotirajah Puranah
Satyasvayam Jyotirajah Puranah
Datte sa janmadya jayatma shakya
Datte sa janmadya jayatma shakya
Tam vidya yodasya niriha aste
Tam vidya yodasya niriha aste
Saha
Saha
That Supreme Personality of Godhead
That Supreme Personality of Godhead
Vishvakayaha
Vishvakayaha
The total form of the universe
The total form of the universe
The whole universe is the external body
The whole universe is the external body
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
Puruhutaha
Puruhutaha
Known by so many names
Known by so many names
Ishaha
Ishaha
The Supreme Controller
The Supreme Controller
With full power
With full power
Satyaha
Satyaha
The Ultimate Truth
The Ultimate Truth
Swayam
Swayam
Personally
Personally
Jyoti
Jyoti
Self-effulgent
Self-effulgent
Aja
Aja
Unborn
Unborn
Beginningless
Beginningless
Puranaha
Puranaha
The oldest
The oldest
Dhatte
Dhatte
He performs
He performs
Asya
Asya
Of this universe
Of this universe
Janma Aadi
Janma Aadi
The creation
The creation
Maintenance and annihilation
Maintenance and annihilation
Ajaya,
Ajaya
by his external energy.
Atmashakya
by his personal potency.
By his personal potency.
Tam,
Tam
that external material energy.
That external material energy.
Vidyaya,
Vidyaya
by his spiritual potency.
By his spiritual potency.
Buddhasya,
Buddhasya
giving up.
Giving up.
Niriha,
Niriha
without any desire,
without any desire
or activity,
or activity.
Aste,
Aste
he is existing,
he is existing,
untouched by the material energy.
Untouched by the material energy.
Translation: The entire cosmic manifestation is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, who has millions of names and unlimited potencies. He is self-effulgent, unborn, and changeless. He is the beginning of everything, but he has no beginning. Because he has created this cosmic manifestation by his external energy, the universe appears to be created, maintained, and annihilated by him. Nonetheless, he remains inactive in his spiritual energy and is untouched by the activities of the material energy. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshastaka, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has many names which are all non-different from the Supreme Person. This is spiritual existence. by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, consisting of the names of the Supreme Lord, we find that the name has all the potencies of the person. The Lord's activities are many, and according to his activities he has many names. He appeared as the son of Mother Yashoda, and also as the son of Mother Devaki. And therefore he is named Devaki Nandana and Yashoda Nandana. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. The Lord has a multitude of energies, and therefore he acts in multifarious ways. Yet he has a particular name. The Shastras recommend which names we should chant, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It is not that we have to search for some name or manufacture one. Rather, we must follow the saintly persons and the Shastras in chanting the holy name. Although the material and spiritual energies both belong to the Lord, he is impossible to understand as long as we are in the material energy. And when we come to the spiritual energy, he is very easy to know. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.23, Mayam Yudhasya Chidchakya Kaivalye Stita Atmani. Although the external energy belongs to the Lord, when one is in the external energy, Mama Maya Duratyaya, he is very difficult to understand. However, when one comes to the spiritual energy, one can understand him. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 18.55, it is said, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. One who wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in reality, must take to the platform of bhakti, or Krishna consciousness. This bhakti consists of various activities. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Shakyam, Atmanivedanam. And to understand the Lord, one must take to this path of devotional service. Even though the people of the world have forgotten God, and many say that God is dead, this is not a fact. One can understand God when one takes to the Krishna consciousness movement, and thus one can be happy. So Krishna is known by the activities he performs, his relationships with the devotees. His activities are performed because of some relationship. There's nothing that Krishna does that doesn't have a relationship with someone. You don't find an activity he just does just to do. He does not waste his time like that. Rasa is the essential element. Rasa is the essential need. So therefore, whatever Krishna does is done in relationship to someone, to some devotee or another. So we see even this material world then is also in relationship to the living entities that are here, and Krishna then arranges things accordingly. So depending upon what is that arrangement, what is that pastime, and the devotee, the relationship with the particular devotee, then he has a name. Right? It's a name is given that is identifies that activity. So even though he has unlimited names and situations, still, therefore he has unlimited names. So names are there. It's not that they are not there. So Lord Chaitanya has pointed out, by chanting these names, then we will get all benefit. We will always have that association with the Lord. And our actual relationship will be awoken by that. So Manu is getting to this point. And so many discussions are going on about the position of the Supreme Lord, about so many qualities that he has, but all this is to prove that he is the Supreme Person and we have a relationship with him. Then in this situation, then we will be able to awaken our eternal relationship with him. So the essence of this is we understand as a person, then we can have that relationship through his names. So then Prabhupada is making this point here first. Other then goes on to point out that the spiritual and material energies, they're all coming from, their material energy is just another energy of Krishna, another energy of the Lord. and it is inferior. It's not active. It's not conscious. So Krishna enters this material energy and manifests everything. Therefore, it is called his external body. It's a form that is there, that is made up of the material energy, and he has entered it to give some shape to this, something that we can relate to. Otherwise, the pradhan is not an overly attractive feature. It's just dark. It's just the dark kichari of external energy. So Krishna separates these energies and enters them. So then they become very nice, bright, and they look very attractive. Something looks very nice. But what's going on, he is not doing. He has just entered it to give it that form and to give it that attractiveness, or to give it the desire to attain, right? Then we will perform activity, and in activity then there's rasa. So a living entity like the Lord must have rasa. So there must be an activity that will give that rasa. And then there must be some goal of that activity that you want, and you must be attracted to that goal. So Krishna then accomplishes all these things by entering this material world. But the actual carrying out of all the activities in the material world is done by the material nature itself, done by Maya. She takes care of all this. So he's not doing. He is completely situated in his spiritual potency. So all this is going on because of his relationship with the living entities. The living entities are spiritual, but they've forgotten him. So they will not know him directly, but there is nothing else other than him. So what can they do? Where they can go? There is no place. So Krishna creates this world in which he is present, and he is the goal of every activity that anyone does. He is the attractive feature of anything that anyone is attracted to, right? And he is the ability, or he is the ultimate cause of any activity that is done. But the living entity does not know this. Therefore, in the material world, the living entity cannot know God. Very difficult. In fact, Prabhupada says here, impossible. But when one comes under the spiritual potency, then he can be known. Then he can be known. But otherwise, materially, you won't know. You just see this, and that's all. And you think, oh, this energy is very nice. This plant is very attractive. No, it's only attractive because Krishna has entered it. Right? Krishna's potency is there. It carries some of his attractiveness. Right? So then we think it is there. But it's not the plant. It's Krishna that's attractive. Right? So whatever is there, there is only Krishna. So that is pointed. So the devotee, only the devotee can understand this. No one else can understand. They can sit and speculate. They can make plans. They can do activities. No one can know God. Because what will they know God with? They have a material mind. They have a material intelligence, material senses. And that's what they have to work with. There isn't anything else. So they are going to acquire their knowledge, or they're going to perform their activities with these things, which are material. And all they can perceive with these things is material. So even though Krishna is there, they will not be able to see. You cannot check, right? Right? Just like you have some incense, and you put the incense there, right? Unless you use your nose, you cannot tell what it smells like, right? You can look at it, you can try to hear it, like that. You can touch the smoke, like that. But you will not know what it smells like. Right? So the same way is that the senses and the mind and the intelligence, being material, can only perceive material, nothing more. So how you'll know God? Even though he's right there, you cannot know him. Impossible. But when that is empowered with the chit potency, we understand from authority the transcendental knowledge. And we engage the senses in transcendental activity. Then we can know the Lord, because then we can see beyond the material energy, but not with the eyes, not with the mind, not with the intelligence, but with the transcendental understanding that comes from devotional service. Only that way, shastra chakshus, through that you'll see, not for something else, No other way. So then this process then is very wonderful because we can engage all our senses in all these activities. So 9 processes are given. So we can hear about the Lord, we can chant about the Lord, we can remember the Lord, we can serve the Lord, we can worship the Lord's devotees and his paraphernalia, we can worship the deity, we can surrender to the Lord, you know, give everything to the Lord, and preach on the Lord's behalf, do the Lord's, what pleases the Lord. So all these things can be done. And by these, then we can know the Lord. Right? Then only. Because the Lord being rasa, therefore if one engages in transcendental activity with transcendental goal, with transcendental attraction, then one can know the Supreme Lord, who is the source of everything. Only then. Because from there you get, that is transcendental rasa, then you can know the Lord. But from the material world, the material rasa, one will never know. Material knowledge, material rasa cannot be understood. It's not possible. So Prabhupada said, concludes, one can understand God when one takes to the Krishna consciousness movement, and thus one can be happy. Like that. Otherwise, no happiness can be. There isn't happiness in the material world like that. It's not possible for there to be happiness. Right? Because you can be happy when you get something that is useful. Right? The body is happy when it gets some nice food, or if it's hot, it gets some cooling situation. Something that's in relationship to what is there. Right? The mind is, you know, happy when there is some, you know, nice situation, something pleasant that it wants, that it likes, like the intelligence when it gets some nice logical, you know, something is there, like that. The ego when, you know, something that it gives it some identity. But none of these are us, so there cannot be any happiness, right? The mind may be happy, but that's not us. Intelligence may be happy, it's not us. Senses, ego may be happy, but that's not us. So we can only be happy if we contact the spiritual energy. No other way. Any questions or comments? They're exchanging, but they make the same mistake. Just like they can't see the Lord, they can't see actually the living entity that they're exchanging with. They see the body, they see the mind, and therefore they're trying to, you know, be happy that way and know the person. You know, nowadays you should, you know, listen and be open and, you know, so many things. So it's a proactive listen, all the kinds of nice terms are there and processes. But that's only for how to better know the other person's mind. It has nothing to do with knowing the person. The person's something different. Prabhupada says the doctor is not the body or the subtle body, the doctor is the soul. Because the soul is the one that thinks they're the doctor. And because they think they're a doctor, then the subtle body has the doctor mood, and the gross body then manifests all the nice things that whatever doctors need. Like this. But so actually on the material platform, you can never know the person. It's impossible. Because you'll see as far as the subtle body, right? And even that is considered very, you know, spiritual if you see emotions or see moods of people and all that kind of thing. You know, that's considered very, very mystical, right? But that's still very, it's just subtle, gross material nature. It's subtle mundanity. The soul is different. So, actually, they're trying to. The purpose of doing it is for rasa. But therefore they're frustrated because the soul is only going to be satisfied when the rasa is soul to soul, soul to God. It means Brahman to Brahman. But they're not getting that. Just like they're attracted by something, you know, it's very dangerous, you know, and wild in, you know, South America. So therefore, it's interesting. Let's go there. Some adventure. See, we've heard about it. Okay, nice. But that adventure, that mood that one gets, that's actually Krishna. So one is wanting Krishna, right? One's attracted by Krishna in that form as adventure. But one doesn't get Krishna. Right? So one's attracted. So that whole endeavor of rasa to get doesn't actually satisfy me. It doesn't satisfy. It's the same with the one living entity to another. We're hoping to get some satisfaction in rasa, but we don't get it because we don't actually have a relationship with the soul. We only have a relationship with the grossness of the body. So only the devotees can go beyond this, like that. But that means they have to do it. Right? Sadhana means it has to be done. One has to understand it and one has to practice it. Otherwise, then, devotee also can make the mistake of going, you know, just dealing with the body or maybe only going as far as the subtle body. But the soul is something else. You know? One has to get to that platform. So the activity is only going on for rasa, like that. But the problem is they're thinking they're going to get some happiness, ananda, and eternal, you know. They're going to get some enlightenment, some improvement. But they don't get. It's not. It's all temporary. So it's not. So they're looking for spiritual, but they're only getting material. They're being cheated.
Material
rasa. There is a rasa. It's material, but the problem is it's material rasa is senses, sense objects, mind, emotional mind meeting emotional mind, logical intelligence meeting logical intelligence, ego meeting ego, body meeting body, and that's it. But the soul is trying to squeeze something out of it, but it has no access. Like the bee, you know, and the honey bottle. You can't get anything. So, because how will get rasa out of something material? Because it's not them. There's nothing to actually taste it. Like that. Because it doesn't exist. You know, it's only a reflection of the spiritual rasa. Is material energy dead matter? Dead matter. It has to be between living things. But the body is dead, the senses are dead, the mind's dead, the intelligence is dead. So there is no rasa there, you know, like that. I take this Kartal and rub it on the table here, you know, like that. There's no rasa happening, you know. Nothing can happen. So that's the thing, is we are doing these activities, but we think it's rasa. We're saying, yes, so much is going on here, it's really happening. But that's because we have this idea that if I rub this Kartal on this table, I'm going to enjoy. So then I'm trying to get it, and someone's trying to stop me from getting at it, and so many obstacles are there, and then I somehow or another get around and rub it on the table, and I'm so happy. But there is nothing there to be happy from. We think it will make us happy. And where does that thinking come from? Because there is real happiness in the spiritual world. There is real rasa there. So that reflection here, then we think it's going, means you have the tree is reflected in the water, and you think, I'll pick that flower and I'll smell it and enjoy it. Because there is a real flower, and there is real smelling. You know, there we'll pick this mango on that shadow in the water, on that reflection, and we'll enjoy that, because there is a real mango. You know, we'll perform an activity and we'll become happy because there is a real activity. But the difficulty comes is that you can never pick that flower. You know, you just get to where it seems like it. But as soon as you grab it, it's not there. It's still in the water. You can't get it. So living entities are trying all these things, but that's why they're frustrated. Sometimes devotees wonder why they're frustrated. They've been in ISKCON for 30 years. Why they're frustrated? Because if you look at it, the things they want aren't there. They're not real. Some facility, some position, some recognition, some security. Where is it? It's an illusion. You want it officially? Yes, you can have this particular part of this shadow in the water here. It's yours. No one will bother you. Great. Enjoy. It's not there. So, therefore, the mistake can be made. That's why Bhagavatam gives so many stories of even devotees becoming bewildered by these things, thinking that will give them happiness. Right? Diti thought, you know, Aditi has some children, so therefore she's prestigious, like that. So I should have children, then I will be prestigious. And because that was her motive, rather than following Dharma, it was her own personal motive, that's in ignorance. So her children then are demons. You know, Aditi's children are demigods. To her it was duty. As a Prajapati, she's supposed to have children. But the other was, is for prestige, I'm going to have these children. So then, she wasn't happy. So even the duties, the connection is its connection with the Lord. So that can please Aditi. But otherwise, even then, she's always worried because Diti's children are always trying to kick her children out of heaven. Right? And then Diti gets upset because Aditi's children come back and kick her kids out. Right? But ultimately, it's the Lord. It's that duty that it's done for the Lord. So Aditi, at least she had children for the Lord's satisfaction. Diti can't make that claim. Right? Demons have to be there, so indirectly she has taken part in the whole universal pastime and created the demoniac children, the demoniac species. But she personally gets no devotional credit for it. Right? The moods of nature just used her. Like that. So it's, you know, you try to exploit the material energy, she exploits you. She's more expert. Right? So like that. So the rasa is something else. You have to get through to the soul. So that means then you have to be based on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the goal to please Krishna. That is what the relationship is based on. You know, you have your friends. That is the reason for that friendship. Or for having children, or for having husband and wife, or how many things. It has to be based on that. So you have to go that far, and then you actually can get, then there'll be some satisfaction in it. But that's the part that'll be the satisfaction. The other part, you can never really be satisfied. It can be a little better, okay. You know, whatever. So it's just like, you know, if you're going to have your ear pierced, okay, it's pierced with a gold needle instead of an iron one. Okay, that's nice. So that's what you can get. By following the proper culture, then the mind and the senses and all that are peaceful because they're pleased, you know, in a human way. But ultimately, those things cannot satisfy the soul. So unless one knows that, one will be frustrated. One will be, even as a devotee. Or even as a pious person, right? Like that. So it's one has to be. You know, one has to apply oneself. That makes sense. You had a question? Or? No.
Seems like there's a. Okay, talking about activity, that's part of the verse, talks about that Krishna was he is inactive, the one that does activities is material energy. I was meditating and being a little bewildered by how the process of devotional service has activities and gradually those activities from external become internal and from relations with material things become spiritual. For you, this clarify.
Yeah. Means, see, on the spiritual platform, you can engage in spiritual activities with a spiritual form. Spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence. I mean, it's everything spiritual. There's nothing not spiritual in the spiritual world. But in this material world, you have the soul, which is spiritual, but everything else is material. But what is material is a reflection of what's spiritual. So it still has this, it looks like what it does in the material, in the spiritual world. Not, you know, everything doesn't come through. Right? The qualities and of the tree in the water is nowhere near what's the real tree. But its form is that from there. Right? So here the bodies, the trees, you know, trees grow from the ground, grow up, they don't grow the other way. You know, this, because that's the way it is in the spiritual world. So here, then the process is there they have spiritual consciousness and they manifest the spiritual form. Right? Then in the spiritual environment, they perform their service. But here, we have, the soul is there, so in spiritual consciousness, they engage the material elements, which includes the body and senses. Right? Just like we're talking now. So now, we're talking, but what are we talking through? We're talking through the material voice. Right? That's vibrating the material air. Right? That's moving through the material ether. It's going into the material ear. You know, and vibrating there. That is being then digested by the material brain. Right? And then material intelligence and mind are then contemplate, understanding and contemplating this. So what's spiritual about the whole process? What's spiritual is that the discussion is spiritual. So therefore the internal potency empowers the material energy. So that's what's spiritual. So the external means is that we're engaging the material energy that includes the body, the mind, the words in the Lord's service. So then with time, that will then enhance the consciousness till the consciousness becomes pure enough that then we can then deal on purely on the transcendental platform. We'll manifest a spiritual form, spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence, in which we can then serve the Lord. But until we have that much faith, until we have that much Krishna consciousness, and until we have that much purity, then we can't do that. Right? Because the soul naturally has these, so the soul has been covered. So the soul doesn't identify with its own natural form. It identifies with the form that we're in now, and with this world here. Therefore, then you have to work with it. But it's empowered by the spiritual potency. So that's what's going on, the external, the internal. Right? So when we say external, internal, generally we're taking external meaning the body, internal meaning the mind. But actually, the real internal is the consciousness. Right? Because the mind is still external. Subtle external, but external, nonetheless. So then we have to, we take whatever is there in the material energy and use it for Krishna, so it becomes empowered with spiritual potency. That's the meaning of spiritualized or dovetailed. Does that make some sense? You had a question.
Why do I tell you all about relationships in material, or especially
relationships?
Between the material and the sun.
Yeah.
As practicing devotees, we also understand that we are negligent with the other devotees. Sometimes we are having tension, there are all other fights also, as practicing Sattva Mahakas. So, we are not actually thinking of career satisfaction and happiness in profile or relationships. Also, we say that unless we are either Paramahamsas or ignorant fools, we cannot really be happy because always the purity is not there. So, in the practicing stage, the sadhana stage, what kind of satisfaction, happiness we find we make with devotee, because sometimes there is suicide or other fight also.
that we have come to actually liberate friends from only daily replacement of happiness and satisfaction relationships, or in the current state, how we have to keep them?
See, the Paramahamsa is happy, the fool thinks he's happy. And everyone in between is bewildered why they're not happy. Like that. So the thing is, the devotees, if they act on the spiritual platform, they will be happy and there will be no problem. Because the soul naturally has all good qualities. But because we're not identifying as the soul, we identify as the gross and subtle body, then problem is there. Because material energy, then there's a way that it works with each other. You know, it means it has its own rasa, how it's compliant with each other. So, therefore, one has to follow the rules and regulations given by the Lord, you know, in the Vedic culture and in sadhana bhakti, you know, the process, of, so that we know how to deal with the material energy. How our mind will meet another mind, how our body will meet another body, how our intelligence another, or our ego another, our senses with another. Otherwise, we don't know. And it's a very vast, amazing, intricate machinery, this material world, that's been created by the Lord and is indirectly run by the Lord through His material energy. So it's not up to us how it works. We can say, of course, everybody has the right to think that they know what they're doing and can make their own path. But that's not a fact, because we didn't create it, so we don't know it. It's not attuned, akin to us. It's a different thing than us. We're soul. We're spiritual. Material energy is not. So how mind should deal, how senses should deal, how intelligence and ego should deal, we have to learn that from the Lord. Otherwise, there's no question we'll know. You can observe for a long time and get something, right? Just like observing for so many years, 400 years, you have the modern academic system. But it's much easier to go into a classroom and hear from the teacher. So 400 years of observation, you get in, you know, a term or two, right? A few years. So the same way is, okay, we'll watch the material energy, we'll get something, but that's one thing out of unlimited things here. Right? And still, even we've observed it, how does it connect with everything? We can't observe everything in this world. Right? So therefore we have to hear from authority. That's the intelligent way to learn. Right? So that's just the way the intelligence is limited here. It can only absorb so much so quickly. Right? We're not omniscient. Therefore, this is a better way. You hear from those who are omniscient. Right? God is omniscient. You know? So therefore, the Shastra is omniscient. We hear from the authorities who give us that. Then the benefit of having watched everything we get. So why foolishly waste our time? Now what we hear, then it's up to us to apply. Then we use our intelligence, we endeavor, we like this. But the principles of it, that we have to hear from authority. There's no question of figuring it out. No question. You can't. Does that make some sense? Therefore the devotees, they themselves, in their relationships between people, they have to hear from authority how to do that. They can't make up their own relationships. Right? The five relationships came from God, not from us. Right? So if you want those to work, then you have to do it according to the way God says it works. Otherwise, unless, of course, you're very satisfied with something other than, you know, human exchange. Right? Krishna does provide 8 million, you know, different varieties of non-human exchange. Right? But generally, if you watch, it's not always the most impressive. Dogs don't necessarily have the greatest relationships. Like that. They somehow or another are attached to each other and always hang out together. But it's not necessarily the most, you know, intimate and gentle form of exchange. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, for the human being is satisfied with a human platform of existence. But, you know, while we're here in condition, that's the safe and most satisfying position. But ultimately, only the spiritual position will please us. So even that has to be given up. Therefore, you go from subhuman to human form of life. But then, from human form, you have to go to Paramahamsa. You have to go beyond it. But that stage of empowering things to use in the Lord's service, the human platform, the human activities and duties and relationships, are more satisfying. You know, it's a better thing. It's also nicer to offer to Krishna. It's closer to the reality, right? It has the form of the reality, though the mentality may be slightly perverted. But at least it looks, we offer a flower to Krishna. It may not have any smell, but at least it looks like a flower, like that. So that's the, it's closer. Does that make sense? That's part of it, but the main thing is if it's authorized and done according to authority, under authority, then it'll be spiritualized. Then depending upon our consciousness, then ourself and others will get more or less benefit from it. But if it's done according to authority, it will automatically be spiritual. Just like devotee, his first day out in book distribution may just be thinking of so many things other than distributing the book. But the spiritual benefit is there, both for them and the people who take the books. But the more they are Krishna conscious, the more benefit they get, and the more benefit the person that takes the books gets. Like that. That's why the parampara is so important. It must be authorized. Otherwise, where's the chit potency going to come down through? It's like electricity. It must come through something. Like that. So it comes through the parampara, through the authorized activities and knowledge. Then it works. And if it's not authorized, then it won't work. It may be nice, but we have to be careful. We're so used to the mind and intelligence and ego and the senses that sometimes if something's nice, we'll mistake it for spiritual. Right? We took the spiritual life because we wanted something nice. Right? We were in anxiety. We wanted the anxiety to go away. So if the anxiety goes away, that's nice. So we've turned to God. So being able to tell the difference between the anxiety going away because it's on the spiritual platform, and it just going away because the material situation has changed. It's just you're in anxiety, you go out into the forest, oh, it's nice, then you know anxiety. Then we'll say, it's spiritual. No, it's motive goodness, it's not spiritual. Like that. Or, we're facility or money, and then now we get something, then like that. So if we just get the results of pious activities, we may say, this is spiritual. Oh, spiritual life is so nice. See, I have so much of this, that. Or spiritual life is not nice. Where is my facility? Where is my respect? Where is my influence? But those are just tools to be engaged, right? So that's all. So whether you're getting a pious or impious reaction doesn't really have anything to do with the spiritual, right? The Pandavas, whether they're sitting in Indraprastha or with unlimited wealth greater than Indra's, or they're sitting in the forest with nothing, it doesn't matter to them. Both situations will remember Krishna. In fact, of the two, Kunti then recommends the forest one, because then there's less to get distracted by, right? If you're sitting under a tree and it's hot, then you don't have to worry about anything. So you just think of the Lord, it's hot. But when you have, your house and your generator and your AC, and there's more things to worry about, right? The AC breaks down, the generator, you need petrol, you need this, call this guy, that guy, the telephone's not working, email's done. So many things to get distracted by. So they can be used, but at the same time, it's not a symptom of perfection. Like that. It's not a symptom of perfection. the perfection is our consciousness. And that what we're doing is authorized. So if it's authorized and getting good results, then yes, it's expected. Because the result's for Krishna. You know, it's supposed to be Krishna's AC and Krishna's computer and Krishna's telephone and all that. So if you use it according to Krishna's direction and see it in relationship to Krishna, then yes, it becomes empowered and you get spiritual benefit. Like that. And depending upon the quality of the object and the quality of our consciousness, then there's more or less benefit. So it makes sense. What time is it? Huh? Oh, so we're over time. So we'll end here. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Shrimad Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Dhyanitai Gaurav.